You're here listening to the Claudia Varas podcast. I'm your host, Claudia Varas, your breakthrough coach. I'm a former high-performing corporate manager in tech turned professionally certified coach and business owner. This podcast is all about a real, raw, unsketched, and fun perspective on all things related to our human experience. It's a space for us to slow down and talk deep. We cover real and raw stories alongside with practical key takeaways and tips on how to break through in your life. The intent is for you to start thinking differently, critically, for yourself, and with that, take aligned action for no one else but yourself. My mission is to cultivate more empathy in this world to inspire positive change. And to do that, we have to start with ourselves first and learn how to cultivate empathy towards ourselves. That is why you are part of this mission. It's only through these kind of conversations that we inspire others to take aligned action and start to think differently too. So your task is to go and share this episode with or any one or two learnings and insights with two friends and tell them to share with two more friends. And let's create a positive ripple effect together. All right, today we have another beautiful guest, Romy Carrillo, here with us, who is a TEDx speaker, a tech professional, and entrepreneur. So Romy and I, we met through this beautiful experience and journey that we had for our TEDx experience, as we are both TEDx speakers at the same event. And her story and her talk are just so inspirational. And it's just definitely something I really want you to listen to. I'm going to put the link to Romy's TEDx talk below in the notes so that you can have a look. And I'm just so excited to have Romy here and to talk a bit deeper about her story and her lessons and just really get ready to get inspired about her story, but also from Romy. So hi, Romy. Welcome.
Hi, Claudia. Thank you so much for inviting. This is going to be my first podcast ever. So I'm super excited to see how it's going to go.
Yes, I love it. I love it when it's people's first podcast episode because that's just, it's just fun. It's just a conversation. It's just an experience. And I'm happy that we get to share this together, Romy.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. For me too. Definitely.
Yes. So Romy, your TEDx talk topic is so intriguing. So it is basically Tech Cinderella from Nanny to Silicon Valley. Ooh, dear listeners, what do you think about when you hear that? Tech Cinderella from Nanny to Silicon Valley. Romy, when you are creating that talk, when you're creating this speech, right, with all the lessons that you have in there, what was your intention really with the talk?
Yeah. So I think my intention with talk is actually to tell everybody that like your limitations are not determined by your age, where you are from, your college degree, the name of your university, your social standing, or the digits in your bank account. I would like to tell everybody that your limits are actually defined by one thing. It's you, how you see yourself right now and how you envision yourself in the future. It all boils down to your own mindset, because some people, you know, they usually kind of use their situation of life to reason out that I cannot do this, I cannot do that. It is true that we all have like different starting points, and maybe some others can get through their dreams very fast or faster than others, and while others like a bit slower. But if you just, you know, take one step at a time, you can actually like do it.
Okay. So the context also here is, and you're gonna get the full story when you watch Romy's TEDx talk, so please go and watch it. But Romy started, you were super successful in real estate, right? Like mm-hmm. Everyone was very happy. The CEO was really happy with your achievements. You're doing really well. And then you've mentioned something was missing. So you moved as an immigrant to Spain from the Philippines. And from your successful career in real estate agency, you actually started as a nanny in Spain.
Yes. That's correct. So everybody actually doubted me at first, because when I was in the real estate industry in the Philippines, I was quite successful, especially for a very young age. I was 24 back then. And then my parents and some of my friends were actually like thinking, oh, this is actually going to be her industry, like, you know, for a long time. But then I don't know, like it is true, you get some money, you get some recognition, but in the end, I feel like, you know, I like it, but I want to learn more. I don't want to be like, okay, because I'm already good at it, I can already like forget about all the other things that I wanted to learn and other stuff. So I decided like, okay, I'm gonna move to a place where, you know, like there's a community like for what I wanted, which is tech. So I moved to like Spain, and it is true that there was not many opportunities for me to stay here. So that's why I ended up actually staying, actually overstaying my tourist visa, and then getting my nanny job, because that's the only job that I could take back then.
So how long have you been then a nanny for?
I was a nanny for 3 years, like I would say 3 years and 2 months. And that was my overall experience. Like 2 months for my first family and then 3 years for the last family that I actually work with and who I still right now keep in contact with.
Wow. So this is, you know, still when I just hear your story, I just got goosebumps on my body, because I mean, here you are, a young professional that is super successful back in her home country. She has a great career. Everyone admires her. Everything is going well. And then she decides to drop that, move 12,000 kilometers away to a country that you don't know, and be a nanny for 3 years. So the first thing that comes into my mind, like a lot of people would not even dare to do that step because of their ego. Like, yeah, but you know, I'm now a successful, whatever, manager, real estate person, whatever. It's like, I'm too good to be a nanny, right? Or whatever it is, kind of, right? In comparison to the job that they're having. So talk us through what was going on for you. Like, how did you deal with that ego piece for yourself?
Yeah. To be honest, it actually occurred to me, like, you know, those kinds of thoughts, it's kind of like normal, you know, like, it's not more about myself, but I was thinking about the external factors, like what would my friends say? What would my, you know, former workmates would say? Like they were expecting a lot from me, my teachers back then in the university. And then they would just found out that, oh, she became a nanny, right? So I also had some friends, like it was a joke, but it also like lingered in my mind when I was thinking about this, wherein they had this kind of joke like, oh, you cannot sit with me because, you know, like, but it was a joke. But then I realized that, you know, like a profession or whatever you do, it's just like it doesn't define really, it doesn't define you. And another thing is that as long as you are doing something that is actually kind of, how to call this, providing value to other people, at least to the family that I was working too, and doesn't actually hurt any other thing, other people, then I think it was fine. So there was this inner critic in me that was, oh no, because your friends are going to say this. Oh no, what are other people going to say? Like they're going to think that you're a failure or whatever. But then I was trying to bring out my inner cheerleader, like, you know, like, hey, this is fine. You're not doing anything wrong. It is fine. You're still providing value. And at the same time, you're staying true to your dreams, to your aspirations. That kind of thing that you're dealing with right now, it might still be blurry, but you are like moving or like taking one step forward to achieving like what you really want to achieve.
So two things. Again, I'm shaking because it's like, while you're talking, I got goosebumps again on two things that you've said. Number one, and please, everyone just listening, take this with you, like your profession doesn't define you. And number two, the thing that you said is that providing value to others, as long as you're providing value to others. And this is so beautiful in the way that you tell your story, because you're providing value to others by, you know, you being you and by you just being the nanny, helping them out. So that is also a form of value. And it's just like, sometimes we just get so caught up in our head of like how value looks like, or like you need to be a certain kind of level or position or standard in order to provide value, but actually that's not true. And so this is such a refreshing perspective, Romy, on what you're sharing here, providing value to others. So you've been then 3 years as a nanny, and in your TEDx talk, you then also shared the pictures of you've been working really hard, right? To the point that you have like wounds and blisters on your hands because of the hard work that you've been doing. So for these 3 years, what is it really that kept you just moving forward towards the dream? Even though you had blisters on your hands, even though you're working physically super hard and then working besides on your dream, like what is really that kept you going?
Yeah, so let me think. There were so many factors. Like I would say first, because like the family I was working for were really nice to me. Mm. They were very good. So I also wanted to, you know, like give back what they had given to me. And then second, it was actually, I didn't actually lose sight of what I wanted. Like I came here to Spain. Like it is true, I wanted to learn about the culture and other stuff, but it is actually like kind of self-growth in a sense of learning new things. So that was really my goal. Like my sight was there. So when I was when I had already fully adjusted to the nanny life, then I started to feel like, oh, now I had a bit more time, or I had some energy to actually give to maybe learning things or just trying things out. So that's when I was I started like, oh, I have to do different things and such. And then I think it is also the fact that I don't know, but when I decided to be real to myself and to actually take actions towards my dream, everything just seemed to fall into place. Like, you know, I just decided to take that one step, but then I wanted to actually learn about technology. My employer was actually working in the startup world. So he was just a startup entrepreneur. So it seems like as if when I decided to work for my dreams, the world suddenly worked with me. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, you're going to work to your you're going to work towards your dream. I'm going to help you to bring you to where you want to be. So I think meeting other people as well, and
So this is okay. So good. I'm just taking a note here because I want to touch base on this as well. The first thing that you've mentioned that I want to dive deeper into is like when I was real to myself, then you took the action, and then the second thing I want to touch base on later is like then the world kind of provided opportunities, right? Now, what would you say to someone listening that they find themselves in a similar situation and they feel stuck in their career and they haven't been real to themselves? Like, what would you say is the first step on how to get real with oneself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wouldn't say that, hey, drop your job right now, resign from it, because I think that's not really the first step. The first step is first to make sure that, hey, if I decide to actually go or like work towards my dream, I need to actually provide a safety place for me as well. You know, like you cannot just go as chase your dreams and then you don't have any money to actually like feed yourself or whatever, right? So you have to make sure that you have at least the basic needs that you have. So in my sense, it was like, if I resign from my job, do I have the savings, or what will I do to actually provide the needs that I, you know, the basic needs that I need? So I decided like, oh, I'm gonna take this job. It will not occupy my mind that much. Like I will be physically tired, but I will be kind of like mentally available, right? So that's what I was thinking. Like I created a plan on how I can probably provide or like how I can free my time, how I can provide some free time so that I can actually work towards my dream. I didn't say I'm going to stop working and I'm just going to give 100% to my dream. What I did is that, hey, I'm going to continue to work, but maybe in another space that will not consume most of my time, like a job that will still provide me some space or some time for me to actually work on something that I want to work on. So I kept on working on it. And then when suddenly an opportunity came that, hey, now you can actually spend 100% of your working time to deal with this one. So that's when I jumped in. But I didn't actually like decide to like, oh, I'm going to resign and spend all of my money into achieving my dreams, because I still have to be real, practical, but at the same time, optimistic, and also do something to actually achieve what I am hoping for.
Mm. Real, practical, optimistic, and actually do something. Yes. Because this is where a lot of people just stay stuck. They stay stuck in overwhelm and then they
Yeah.
procrastinate and never take action on any of this,
Exactly.
right? And so the interesting thing that you've mentioned on this as well is that once you just got real with yourself and you thought about that, is that then opportunities came along the way,
Yes,
right?
that's correct.
Yeah, and this is so interesting because like once like when you do the let's say the deep inner work and you get really clear on what you want, you actually co-create your dreams with the universe, right?
Exactly.
Because it's so interesting, and I'm so happy that you've mentioned that because if you show up real, practical, optimistic, and you take action like you've been doing, then opportunities are being provided, right? But if there is someone that is just like thinking, yeah, I really want that, but it's not for me, and it's in this victim mentality and never takes action, then opportunities also won't come, right? And
Yes.
so, like, what is your, let's say, experience with this co-creating with your universe? And what advice would you have for people to actually create that energy for themselves?
Yeah. So I want to go back to the advice that I gave to my best friend back in the when I was still in university. So I just told her because she said that I really want something. And I told her, you know what? I had a secret. I don't know why, but if you really pray for, if you really like, you know, want, like you're 100% sure of yourself that you want it will actually goes to you. So I actually believe that you attract what you think, what you pray for, or what you believe. So it's just not one thing, but also you believing, right? Like it's easy to say, I want to become a teacher, but you feel like, but I have fear in speaking in front of other people. So you don't believe that you can do it. So it still won't work. Like it, the first thing that I said during this talk, one of the first points that I said was that it all boils down to our mindset, right? How we see ourselves right now and how we see ourselves in the future. So, for example, if you're somebody who doesn't have that much money or you're not good at like speaking in front of the public, so you didn't have, you know, like you didn't have enough money to go to university, you might think, oh, you know, I'm doomed. I don't have money to spend for university. I want to be a teacher, but I also have like stage fright, so I don't think it's for me. Then you're going to be that person, whatever you think yourself. And you're already like limiting yourself to whatever you can still do if ever you try. But if you think like the other way, like, hey, I don't have money, I have stage fright, but I really want to be a teacher, then what I should do first? Maybe number one, like find ways or like opportunities to actually like get a bit of money or like to go to school, like maybe apply for scholarships or like student assistance or part-time jobs and then part-time study. And then little by little, work on your fear on, you know, like stage fear. And then maybe later on, like you're gonna get to where you actually want to be. It's not gonna be fast, it's not gonna be easy, but you know that, you know, you are on the right road. So I think that's how I see it.
Yes, I love that because you said such beautiful things like you attract what you think and you attract also what you believe, right? So
Yes,
this is
that's
so
correct.
important. Like if you listening, like if you have a vision or a dream on who you want to be, you really deeply have to believe it and you have to feel that as well, right? Like
Yes.
waking up and as you said this example with the teacher, like getting out there and starting to speak in front of people, or maybe starting a podcast where you can practice or whatever it is, right? It's really around like become like be this person until you become it. So I really love what you said there. And so then in your case, Romy, like how does then like evolve? So you've been 3 years like nanny, but you've also have been then starting step by step to get your foot into the tech world as well. And you've been taking on very different roles as well, right?
Yes,
So,
that's correct.
tell us a little bit more about what have you then been doing after the 3 years that brought you closer to getting into tech?
So basically, actually, while I was a nanny, I was already kind of like working a bit on like getting into tech. So I found a friend and he was in the tech space. So I was asking him, like, hey, you know, is there anything I can help you with? And in return, I'd be learning from him. So he said that, oh yeah, sometimes I need some like contractors, developers, and other stuff. So I told him like, hey, I know a lot of ITs or like HRs in the Philippines back then. Maybe I can like, you know, connect you both or even filter your applicants. So I was doing that for him. And then every weekend I would probably like go and see how he works and would ask things. So that's when my first exposure to tech. So after that, actually enrolled in an IT course. And that's when I learned that coding was not built for me. It was not for me. And I remember I was crying and I was like, no, I cannot do this. And I was expecting that after I get my papers, the next thing that I would do is actually work in tech because, you know, when you're coding, there's no language barrier. So I was thinking as a, like, you know, I'm not very fluent with Spanish. Hablo poquito, pero no mucho. Like I can speak. Yeah. So I was thinking that, okay, I'm going to go there. But then I failed or like I thought that, oh, coding is not for me. Then it's the end for me. I cannot go into tech world. But instead, of course, I had that thought, no? But instead of like focusing and staying in that zone, like, hey, coding is not for me. Tech is not for me. I changed my perspective. And I said, coding is not for me, but maybe there is still another thing that I can do in tech, right? So I just continued to like learn about it. And then I said, oh, there is what we call now, how to call this? Remote opportunities like virtual assistants. Mm-hmm. And I kind of know a little bit of those digital tools. So I started creating my community into that one, like creating a community for aspiring freelancers, aspiring remote, you know, virtual assistants. And then that's when the opportunities start to happen. But I kept on trying and trying. And then there was a startup based in the US who kind of asked me, this startup asked me like, hey, if you want to work with us, because we are actually like providing services to different startups and we actually deal with many virtual assistants, which was my specialty back then. But then they put me into marketing. But then I realized that marketing was not maybe my best field, because, you know, marketing in the Philippines, that's fine because I know the culture, I know how it works. But marketing for American people, that's probably something that I'm not very good at. So I started to feel pity again and such. But even though I already start to feel a bit demotivated, and this is always my mantra. Whenever my inner critic start to judge me, I would always pull my inner cheerleader and would say, tell me everything that I am good at, or tell me everything that I can still do so I can keep on going. Even if, you know, it's a little bit, I'm already bruised a little bit because like, oh, coding is not for me. Marketing is not for me. But I didn't stop. And I decided to like, I'm going to continue. I'm going to try to find my right place in the tech world. And that's when my next job happened. And then that's when I figure out that there's what they call operation specialist. And apparently it's something that I can kind of pull off. So that was my actually journey in the tech space.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And so right now you are actually the head of operations in a startup. Is that correct?
That's correct. Startup based here in Spain.
So at the head of operations in a startup based in Spain, and you also are building your own company, right?
Yes, I'm building my company inside this startup because it's more of like a partnership than what we had with my boss or with my manager. So basically, I'll be working for the projects that this company already has, but at the same time, I'll be building my project on the side, and together, like it's like co-partnership.
Okay, so this is insane. Like, listeners, do you really just like feel this evolution of Romy's story? It is insane, right? Like the move, the hardships as a nanny, but then also the hardships in learning, figuring out, reinventing yourself to now where you are right now as a co-partner and head of operations in the tech world. This is insane. So you know what, like Romy, you've mentioned that there were obviously moments in your journey where you said you felt pity, or you experienced hardships, demotivation, like, you know, hitting like a wall a couple of times over and over again. And you've mentioned that the way you deal with that is like you bring up your inner cheerleader, right, to
Yes.
navigate you through that. Now, what if someone really struggles to bring up their inner cheerleader to help them navigate through these moments? What other advice would you have to them?
Yeah, that is true. There are people that, find it difficult to actually cheer themselves up, like some of my friends as well. So I always like recommend them like, hey, if you cannot be the right cheerleader for yourself, you have to find a community, a group of people or even just a person who truly believe in you, like somebody who truly genuinely appreciate you, because just being surrounded by the right people, by the right community actually helps a lot. Because if yourself you're having a hard time believing in yourself, then maybe other people's like appreciation will get to you somehow, and later on you will start to develop to like appreciate and like appreciate yourself and your skills and whatever you have in yourself.
Yes, and also I love that because it's a muscle that has to be built, and that's also like in the coaching world, that's an incredible tool actually to work on, to define your inner voices, label them, give them a picture, and then also give them the microphone to the empowering voices, right? So this is so beautiful, and it's just also I'm curious actually to know from you, Romy, like how did you develop for yourself that inner awareness to guide yourself through all of these situations?
I actually don't know that much, but it is true. It also helped that I have like group of friends who are into this like kind of meditation and such, and I also like learn from them. And maybe aside from that, what helped me a lot as well is that my awareness to like a lot of struggles, because I came from the Philippines, and it is not a secret that there is a lot of poverty and struggles in the Philippines. So seeing how my family or friends went through that those kinds of struggle, and even with myself, like I also had that in my life. So it kind of like taught me to be kind, hey, you have to be strong, because if you cannot be strong for yourself, then you're gonna crumble. And I think that's how it is. And yeah, but it is true that I like, even like I told you that I never had a chance to actually listen on podcasts, but I am a big fan of like reading books that are for like positivity, and also like watching videos. It's not podcasts, but it's videos, but I have to check podcasts soon. So
Well,
I think
reading
that's
books,
it.
like reading books and watching videos, that's already enough. Because you see, this context as well that we're having about your story and how you navigate through that, it just shows that you are not letting yourself determine by your circumstances, essentially, right? And you created for yourself the environments where you knew you can actually achieve what you want to achieve. And this is so important because there's also like the study, right, that says that you are the average of the five people you spend most of the time with, right?
That is
And so,
correct.
yeah, exactly. And so if you spend, and this was like when I heard this, honestly, it was a huge eye-opener because in my career, I spent basically most of my time with people that were just not aligned to the things that I wanted to be aligned with. And of course, that has an impact as well then on me, right? And what I love so much about your story and what I really hope the listeners take away as an inspiration is that create yourself that environment where you can become the person that you want to become, right? So it's your
That's right.
responsibility in taking action. And you know what? Like the other thing that comes up for me here, Romy, when I reflect on your story and our conversation, is that there was this long-term thinking in terms of your career and in terms of your dreams and how you want to achieve that. I mean, you moved 3 years and then you build up the skills, you try, you reinvent, you try, you reinvent, you move forward, etc. Now, most of us, and I've been in this situation as well, is like this need for short-term gratification, right? In terms of like, okay, I want to have a different life, a different career. I want to do what I really want to do. I want to live my dream and I want it by tomorrow. But I don't want to take actually action on that. So what really stands out for me is this long-term vision that you had for yourself, and not getting caught up in this fast, let's do it right now, quickly. Like I need to have this by tomorrow. Otherwise, it's not for me. What is it that made you really anchor yourself in this long-term vision?
That's interesting. I haven't really thought about it, but yeah, don't know. Let me see. Okay. So, to be honest, I also have a thinking like, hey, I want it as soon as possible because I'm from the Philippines, it's Asia, and normally Asian, they really have this deadline. Like if you're 30 years old,
Yes.
then you should have yourself already figured out. You already have gotten
Yes.
married, you already have a, stable career. But and that was scary. But I think I was just thinking, like I really went into like deep thinking process and really tried to connect to my inner self, like try to get rid of all the external voices. Listen to yourself first, right? One, I ask, is it really something possible for me to achieve this in just like a snap? And the answer is no. And the next question I ask myself, are you willing to take the long road? It's still not yet sure, but you're gonna get somewhere, that's for sure. But it's you don't know when, and it's gonna be long and shaky road. Or will you want to stay comfortable in your current place right now? But you have to just like, accept whatever you already have at that time. So I think it was just more of like thinking and really reconciling with myself and together, like myself, my conscious self, and I believe we also have our subconscious self. So I try to actually like connect the two and like together both the conscious and the subconscious, like, hey, we're gonna accept whatever we're gonna choose. And it's just like, I'm gonna choose this. It's hard, it's difficult. I don't know, but let's just bring it on. And I was also prepared to whatever the consequences of that choice might be. But I made sure that whatever the consequences, it's not like, like very dramatic or whatever. And it's something that I can accept with all my open heart as well. So I don't know how it is, but I think it's just like really contemplation, something like that.
Yes, Aromi, that's exactly what I've written down here as a keyword, because that deep thinking, right? It's not just like the thinking of like, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that, and this like, hustling mindset that most of us are stuck in, but it's actually set the deep thinking process, which is contemplation, going inwards, finding the answers from within. And this is just something that I say to everyone, and what I help actually just my clients with as well, is just like, let's take the elevator from your mind and towards your heart and find the answers from there, and then build the confidence to go after that. And the thing is, what you also said so beautifully is that there will be fear. Fear is there, but you take action anyways because you know it's the right thing for you, not for anyone else, but for you. And so amazing. So contemplation, so people, just take this away with you, is like, be honest with yourself for a moment and ask yourself, are you right now just trying to hit how your life should look like based on external expectations? And if yes, that's okay. I've been there too. Romy has been there too. Most of us have been there too. At some point, just be honest with yourself and go into the contemplation mode and connect with your inner self, as Romy said beautifully. Okay. One, so there are obviously like there's so many key takeaways from this conversation, like taking risks, embracing uncertainty, longer term vision, be real to yourself, contemplation, you attract what you think and what you believe in. And one of the coolest things from your story and your TEDx talk as well is this key point of trusting oneself to connect to the scattered dots of life. Romy, can you elaborate for us what you mean by that?
So, that I remember saying that, like, trust in yourself, trust in your skills, like believe in your gut, something like that, that it will soon fall into places. So I believe that, for every action, there will be a reaction. And that's like science, that's a science rule, right? For every action, there is a reaction. So I believe that in every decision that you make, there will be a corresponding action. So if I decide to actually stay in the real estate world in the Philippines, what would have like what would happen? I would probably stay there, get some more money and etc. But will I be happy? Something like that. So, sorry, let me go back. What was the question first? I
Yeah,
forgot.
the trusting yourself to connect to your scattered, yes, to the scattered
What
dots of life, yes.
I want to what message. Like, you want me to elaborate that message,
yes,
right?
Exactly. What do you mean by that? Exactly.
So it is actually like in yourself, you know, like you might not be fully 100% aware of what you can do, what your skills are, what your talent, but you kind of like have an idea of what you enjoy doing, what you can probably do, and what is, you know, like what is a thing that you don't do well that much or you don't enjoy that much. So I think it is like betting on yourself that, hey, this is what I want to do. I'm going to bet myself here because I'm going to bet on myself because if I don't, who would, right? So it's like, if you don't try, I would say that life is kind of like a gamble, that if you want to win that jackpot prize, then you have to bet on something. And if you just keep on like, hey, I want to achieve that, but you're just like looking at it without betting anything, then you're not going to get it. Someone else is going to get it. Other people are going to get it. But you, as long as you don't bet on yourself, then you're never going to achieve it. But then later, if you bet on it and then, you know, like you don't get it, there will still be some place later on. It's just like saying that just because, oh, I did something right now, but I still didn't get anything. Why is it? Then maybe it's not worth it. No, because, you know, life, success, or however you define success is actually kind of like a work in process. Like, it's never going to be like, this is success and that's a one-time thing. Nope. I would say that success is more of a process and achieving, not really achieving, but getting something out of your journey and getting happiness or how do you call this? Contentment within your journey. So doesn't matter whether it's a win or a lose, because at the end of the day, you'll understand that, hey, I might not have gotten what I want or I have gotten what I want, but the more important thing were the things that I experienced during this journey and how I have become a better person, how I have grown over, you know, the time that I've spent achieving this or like trying to achieve this dream.
Yes, and exactly to the point that sometimes the things that you do, you know, you gotta do them and they don't make sense, but at the later stage, they make sense, right? That comes back to like the core message, that one of the core messages that you have in your TEDx talk, which people will understand now with this context even more, is that, you know, you took all these dots, you took all these actions. And so now reflecting back, they made all sense. Right.
Yeah.
But in the moment, maybe, you know, it's a bit like, oh, I'm not sure how this is going to actually work out and how it makes sense. And then, however, I'm still going to do it. And now it just all falls into place.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Now I think, I remembered I was saying that when you start working yourself, the world will actually help you. So you might not understand, what is it? What is this? Why am I meeting this person? Why am I in this talk? Why am I in this activity or whatever? But sooner or later, you will find out like, oh my God, everything just connect. And that's how the world has actually helped you. Like, you know, I'm here. I'm backing you up to actually achieve what you want.
Yes. Amazing. Beautiful. Romy, thank you so much for your time, for sharing all these beautiful wisdom, insights, knowledge, nuggets with us. I'm sure, like, I'm leaving inspired, and I've listened to your TEDx talk like in May when we were there live, and I re-listened to it today, and now your conversation. Your story is really inspiring, and I really hope, you, beautiful listeners, that you take away what you just need right now for you to take away. Whatever lands for you right now is exactly what needs to land, so trust that. Romy, thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much for being here. And as a closing tradition, what we're doing here in this podcast is we're just anchoring in whatever we're learning right now by putting our right hand on our belly, our left hand on our chest. And we take in a breath in through your nose and out through your mouth, knowing that everything that you need, desire, and want is exactly right here where your hands are. And remember that you are breaking through. Thank you, Romy. Thank you, everyone. And speak soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Klaus.
Thank you.
Where is it?